Text this morning is 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. If you're using the Bibles under the chairs, you'll find it on page 1019. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. Once again, shall we stand as we hear the word of the Lord? This is now the second letter that I'm writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I'm stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord our Savior through your apostles, knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, where is the promise of His coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. For they deliberately overlooked this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God. And that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promises, some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. The day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God? Because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to His promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. This is the living and abiding Word of God. You may be seated.
Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, there are three great comings foretold in the Bible. The first is Christ coming to the world in Bethlehem more than 2,000 years ago. The second is the coming of the Holy Spirit, which, as recorded in the book of Acts chapter 2, was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. There is a third great coming, and that is yet future. It is the return of our Lord for a second visit to this world. The second coming of Jesus Christ is one of the most neglected biblical truths, at least in Bulgaria. In the New Testament alone, it is referred to over 300 times, being mentioned more often than any other doctrine of the Christian faith. It is evident that God considered the second coming of Christ as a very important truth. It is that important to God, then certainly it should be important to us. First, the second coming of Christ is a certain coming. Pastor Mike read in our passage 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come. But the day of the Lord will come. In early verses, Peter speaks of scoffers who will ridicule and deny Christ's return. He tells us that they will say, if Jesus is coming, where is he? The years have gone by. The centuries have rolled by. Everything today is just as it has been in the past. He isn't coming. Then Peter reminds the scoffers of that God keeps his promises, that once he promised the world will be destroyed by a flood, and it was. The people of Noah's day did not believe God would send a flood. They heard the preaching of Noah over and over again, but refused to believe his warnings. There stood the ark under construction, a daily testimony to that at least one person expected a flood to come. How the scoffers and the deniers must have laughed and mocked as they walk by and look at Noah's giant boat. But the flood came. There was a day when the clouds gathered and the rain poured down. It is recorded that in the same day were all the fountains of the deep broke up, and the water came gushing up out of the earth. The people were forced to have their homes, to leave their homes and climb the mountains, but the waters rose up and covered the mountains. With the expectation of Noah and his, with exception of Noah and his family, that whole generation perished. The people simply did not believe that a flood would come, but it did come. Peter's argument with the scoffers is this: if God once made a promise that the world will be destroyed by a flood, and it came, then you can be sure that his promise about the second coming of Christ and the destruction of the world by fire will be fulfilled also. The day of the Lord will come. The scoffers of whom Peter speaks are among us today. Many who call themselves Christians do not believe in the second coming of Christ. Many years ago, Time magazine referred to a statement made by Bishop Pike in which he said that if the church expects to be accepted in this modern and sophisticated age, it will have to get rid of its belief in a literal coming of Jesus Christ back to the earth. Just a few months later, this capable and brilliant man wandered out into a desolated wilderness area of Palestine and perished there. His body was found some days after. Bishop Pike's death in the wilderness is somehow symbolic of the desert in which people who deny the plain word of God walk. We have Christ's own word for his return to this world. He says in Revelation 22 and verse 20, "Surely I come quickly." And in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus declares the absolute certainty of his second coming, saying, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words, including the words I'm now speaking to you about my second coming, shall not pass away. Matthew 24, chapter 35, verse. A Christian was asked if he can give any better proof for the second coming of Jesus than Christ's own words for it. He answered, "What better proof do you need than the word of the Creator of heavens and earth? Yes, more certain than yesterday is the certainty that Jesus Christ will come again. And his coming is, first of all, a certain coming, and on the second place, a literal coming. We are told in the book of Acts, chapter 1, that 40 days after his resurrection, Jesus led the disciples out to Mount Olivet. He spoke some farewell words to them. Then, contrary to the law of gravity, he began to ascend up from the earth. As they looked on in astonishment, he rose higher, slipped through the clouds, and was lost in their sight. As they stood looking upward, overcome by awe and wonder, two shining creatures from heaven stood beside them and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in exactly the same manner as you saw him to go into heaven." Acts chapter 1, verse 11. The second coming of Christ has been explained in many ways that seems ridiculous in view of that promise of the angel. There are those who say that it refers to Christ coming to individuals when he saves them. Yes, Jesus comes to individuals, even today. Every true believer who has experienced Christ coming to his life can say with the Apostle Paul, "Christ lives in me." Others argue that the second coming refers to Christ coming to his people to have fellowship with them. Yes, he indeed comes to have fellowship with his people. And we experience that every Sunday and even through the week when we gather together to worship him, to study his word and to pray. He promised, "I am with you always," and especially that he will be in the midst of his church regardless of her size. "When two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Many times when I visit and preach in small churches, village churches, without ministers, or some ministers that are old and they need some help, I'm trying to encourage my brothers and sisters that we have never been worshiping in a small church. Why? Why somehow? Because somehow when we gather together in Christ's name, Christ is in our midst, and then also we are surrounded with angels and people that have gone to glory. Somehow, mystically, we are one with them. Every Sunday, when we gather together, so we will never worship in a small congregation. There are still others who say that His coming, the second time, speaks of His coming for His people at their death. Yes, Jesus certainly comes for His people at their death. He has promised us in Psalm 23 that when we come to that final hour, He will be there at our side to walk down into the valley of shadow of death with us. When the godly Stephen was dying as the first martyr of the church, he looked up to heaven and saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Someone has remarked that Christ was standing because He was waiting to welcome the spirit of Stephen, soon to be released from his bruised and broken body. Yes, Jesus comes for His people at their death. There are so many more misinterpretations of the manner of the second coming of Christ. But what did the angels say? He will come in exactly the same manner as you have seen Him go. Only one kind of coming can fulfill the promise the angels made. It is the actual, literal, physical, visible appearance of Christ as He comes through the clouds back to our earth once more. Yes, Christ's coming is first of all a certain coming, second, a literal coming, third, a sudden and unexpected coming. A few years ago, we were celebrating Christ's coming, first coming, and at Christmas Eve, we were in our home together with Angel and Bethany were back then in Bulgaria, and some of our close friends were invited in our home. So we were around the table celebrating Christ's first coming. Then we heard a noise. Somebody was knocking on the door, and the knocking was very loud. So I went to open the door. And for my surprise, and surprise for Svetlana, our second son came from Germany, unnoticed, we didn't know, unexpected. He just knocked and entered in. Of course, Angel knew that. He gave him a key and he was involved with that, but the parents, I and Svetlana, didn't know anything. So for us, it was unexpected coming, sudden and unexpected coming, even though in our dreams we wanted Him to come, but we didn't see any possibility for Him coming. You know the stories of William Miller, who lived in New England in the early parts of 19th century. From a 15-year study on the book of Daniel, he decided that Christ will return on earth at the same point between March 1843 and March 1844. He had a following of approximately 100,000 people who believed is prophecy. They gave away their possessions and sat down waiting for the Lord to come. The year passed and there was great disappointment when Christ did not appear. In Pasadena, California, a frightened group of followers of Charles Long met one whole night to read the Bible and pray. This prophet they follow had told them that on the following day Christ will appear, but he did not. Jesus said of his coming in Matthew 24 chapter and 36 verse, "But of that day and hour no one knows." In view of this plain word of our Lord, it has always amazed me that people would dare to set dates. Listen to this further word spoken by our Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, please read the whole chapter in your homes so you could ponder and think about those words of our Lord Jesus Christ. But now I will read just verses 26, 27 first. "Therefore, if they say to you, 'Look, he is in a desert,' do not go out. Or, 'Look, he is in an inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." And then verse 36, the same 24 chapter of Matthew. "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." And lastly, verse 44. "Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." On a plaque in a Christian home were just two words. Perhaps today. Perhaps today is a good reminder. It should not be forgotten that Christ may come any day. It may be today, it may be tomorrow, it may be next week or far in the future. But one thing is certain. It will not be announced by the media. It will be sudden and unexpected. Yes, Christ's coming is a certain coming, a literal coming, a sudden and unexpected coming. Fourth, a glorious coming. You cannot find more exciting description of our Lord's return of one recorded by John in Revelation chapter 19. And I will read the verses 11 through 16. "Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, follow him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thought a name written, Kings of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ came once as the Lamb of God, of whom it was written, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. But when he comes the second time, he will come as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He came the first time in humiliation, to be hated, despised, cast out, spat upon. But when he comes back to earth, it will be to receive honor. In that day every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He came to earth as a gentle seeker after men, calling, Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But when he comes again, he will come as the just judge, visiting the judgment of God upon the wicked of the earth. He came the first time as a servant, ministering to people, touching diseased bodies and making them well, touching blind eyes and making them see. Jesus even got down upon his knees before his disciples and washed their dusty feet. But when he comes the second time, he will come as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He came unnoticed by the world. The first home was a stable, and his first baby's bed a manger filled with straw. But when he comes again, he will come in glory, surrounded by his mighty angels, with the trumpet of God and the voice of the archangels sounding. Christ will be seen from one end of the universe to the other. So will he come. Almost every Lord's Day we pray, Thy kingdom come. For thousands of years, God's people have prayed that prayer. Those millions of prayers will be answered because of God's sure promises. The kingdom will come. Yes, the kingdom will come when the King comes. Then the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Revelation 11:15. Will the second coming of Jesus Christ find you ready to receive him? Remember, his coming is certain, literal, sudden, unexpected, and glorious coming. Trust Christ alone now, and you will be among the many for whom that coming is a blessed hope. May the Lord speak to our hearts and bless our souls today. To his name be glory now and forevermore. Amen. Father, we thank you for your clear word that you are sending forth, And thank you for the promise that your world will not be in vain. Your world work will accomplish your will in this world. Thank you for the blessed hope of our Lord's coming once again for the church, for us. Bless us as we labor, as we wait for your second coming. Make us faithful and fruitful servants of yours, and please bless your word here and around the world. In Jesus' name, amen.